In Ephesus, he's warned them that they will face problems, well, more than problems, extreme difficulties from people in and around the church who will try and lead them astray. I suppose what we might call today fake good news. So he wants to remind them about what he has taught them. This is my link. Paul was also a kind of teacher, but he didn't work in a school. But he wants to remind them what he has taught them. So I have a question to all of us, and particularly any of the young people here. I don't see too many, actually. But anyway, if you consider yourself young, you can particularly think of this question. And imagine your teacher, or teacher in the past you've had, is saying goodbye to you. Perhaps you're moving from one class to another, or they're leaving, and they want to say something. But what might they say? Well, they might say something like, "Now, don't forget, remember," well, what would they say? What would they say? What sort of things would they say that they might want you to remember? Anyone? It's a good question, because there is no wrong answer. Absolutely open question. What sort of thing might they say? Anyone? Come on, be brave.
Do your best.
Do your best, okay? What else? Remember what I taught you, okay? Yeah?
Practice
makes perfect. Sorry? Don't forget me. Right. Okay, so I think we've just about got quite a spread there. It could be, yes, things that they had taught, they'd actually said, or so they'd shown on the blackboard, I mean the whiteboard, I'm a bit behind, or on the video, or something they'd written in their books. But actually, come 6 months, we wind on a bit later, what would we remember about that person? What sort of things, what of all that would we actually remember?
We'd remember their character.
We remember their character. You've been in my notes, haven't you? This has been hacked, I can see. Yeah, wouldn't we? We might remember the odd joke that they told or something, yeah. But actually, what they had said, or we might probably not remember. It'd be somewhere there in our memories, but we couldn't really remember the words. But we would remember their character, what they had done, what sort of person they were. And I suspect we can all go back to teachers and we can remember some of the good ones, and we could probably also remember some of the bad ones as well. That's what sticks in our minds. Well, what Paul tells the teachers in the church to remember, well, actually he just says what they know and how he taught. He reminds them that he taught anything and everything that was profitable for them. In particular, he mentions he taught people about repenting. That is, turning away from what is wrong and turning towards God and what God wanted. He reminds them about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also mentions the gospel of grace. And finally, the kingdom of God. Well, actually, there's so many things there that would take me several hours to even start to explain all those. But I'm sure you cover in other sermons those things. But those are really crucial points, and it's interesting to see the breadth of the things that he mentions. Faith, repentance, the gospel of grace, and the kingdom of God. Major things that he reminds them of. But not only does he say he told them everything, but he told it to everyone. He mentions the Jews and the Greeks. Now, that's not just two groups out of a lot of groups. That was basically the two groups that there were in society. You were either a Jew or you were a Greek. He told it to everyone. This teaching is not for a particular group. It is for everyone. And he taught, where did he teach? Well, he taught, it says, in public, in the open, and then he taught from house to house. Well, if you think about it, that covers everything. It's in public or in private. He didn't stop. Wherever he was, that's where he taught. And if I extend that a little bit, I don't think I'm wrong in extending it, we're talking about the gospel, this message, is for everywhere. It's not just for our place, our town. It's not just for our country. It is for the entire world. And that's why people like Dahmer and myself have been called abroad to other countries. And people are being constantly called. We talked about Ethiopians. The Ethiopian church sending people now to Pakistan because they have got the vision that God has to spread this good news to other countries. And they go very sacrificially. The churches give huge, for them, huge amounts. When they come get to Pakistan, they find that that money isn't a very huge amount at all. But they give very sacrificially because they have got the vision that God has to get this good news to all people everywhere. And we mentioned that that's why our school educates children of missionaries and church workers who come from these different countries, including now from Pakistan, and almost half of our students are Pakistani. Their parents are now involved with or even leading the organization that before foreign missionaries were doing. And that's actually a great encouragement to me. It's an encouragement to me that as the foreign missionaries have stopped coming to Pakistan, the Pakistani church has taken over and has carried on these ministries because they think they are important and they will, lead it forward. And they work amongst both Christians and Muslims, and they share this good news about Jesus. Paul did not just remind them about what he said, though, but about how he lived his whole life. He mentions how he worked hard, how he endured opposition, and how things were going to get even worse for him in the future. He also says that what's the most valuable thing to him? I wonder how we would answer that question. What's the most valuable thing we have? What would you answer? What? Family. Oh, right. Our faith. Life. You're obviously way ahead of where I am. I would think, to be honest, what's the most valuable thing? I have a house. That's the most valuable thing. After that, well, I have a car in Pakistan. That's probably the next valuable thing. My computer probably is the third. Yeah, you're a long way forward from me. Good. That's encouraging. We can sometimes think of material things as the most valuable things, but actually, yeah, as we progress, then we realize that relationships and even our own life is perhaps really the most important thing. But Paul says, actually, really quite a shocking thing, doesn't he? He says, in effect, I don't value my own life. Now, we mustn't be extreme about this, but understand what he means by that. He says, I don't value it except what it can achieve in God's purpose. The value of my life is actually what it achieves, how it fulfills God's will, God's desire for my life. That's the point. In a way, I would say that he's saying that he knows that God values his life. Paul's life was really valuable. If it wasn't for Paul, we wouldn't have quite a large amount of the New Testament. We wouldn't have his writings. Those are valuable. He knew he was valued by God, but he didn't put a value on his own life. And it struck me in watching others, particularly on the mission field, that it's people who, a bit of a paradox, it's people who do not value their own lives who can actually value other people's lives. Paul says that he makes it very clear, he's very concerned about their lives and he values their lives. For example, a doctor or a nurse, how can they treat somebody with a deadly disease if they're just thinking, oh, I might catch this disease, I might die? They won't treat that disease, they won't treat that person. It's actually in purposefully thinking, my life is not that important, that other person's life is important, that they can actually be effective. And I know people who have worked in extremely dangerous places to help people there. They could only do that by first saying, my life is not that important, it's only what I can do that is important. In our school then, we have an opportunity to teach, and it's not just in words. It's not just saying things and telling people the right gospel and the right message and everything, but it's actually living that out. And I think that's what I want to get across to us all. And I believe we all do it. But let's be encouraged to do it more, that our whole lives demonstrate the truth of what we are, what we believe and what we say. I remember sometimes getting into debates, which is the most important, what we say or what we do? Well, actually, I think that question is a false question. Both go together. They should go together. Both together are important. And, well, you can think yourselves, well, which one is perhaps the weakest? Is it the saying things? I'm good at doing, but I'm not that good at saying. Or maybe I'm good at saying, but I'm not that good at doing it. Let's be encouraged to get that balance right. As I say, at school we have opportunities because it's a boarding school. We can be with these kids all the time and share our lives. And finally, I want to say it's not a matter of being perfect. Sometimes you're getting discouraged. You're saying, "Oh, well, I'm no good. I make mistakes. I mess up. We all mess up." But how do we then deal with it? In my experience, it has been that when we mess up and we deal with it correctly, that's actually a great sign, and it's a great encouragement to others. It's what this society needs. It needs people who model this Christian view, the Christian view of forgiveness, of repentance, of knowing grace, and that community of the kingdom. They need to see that modeled in our actions as well as our words. So my prayer is that our lives may also demonstrate what we believe and tell others. Amen.